be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From noon on, darkness came across the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why have you abandoned me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us wait to see if Elijah will come to save him." The Gospel of the Lord. Darkness had fallen over the whole land, as the prophets had foretold. Isaiah had said, "Behold, the day of the Lord shall come, the sun shall be darkened at its rising." And Joel had added, "The sun and moon are darkened, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can stand it?" There's a question as to whether Jesus could stand it. In this word, it might seem at first glance that he felt totally abandoned. And rather than a cry of mercy, this word might appear to be a cry for mercy. A cry of mercy, it appears to be a cry for mercy because of an apparent lack of it. But it was in fact a great confession of the mercy of the Father. And a great example of entrustment to that mercy. And an act of solidarity with anyone who, for whatever reason, feels abandoned. Let us enter into the full drama of this merciful word. After a lengthy period of silence, Jesus prayed aloud. Doubtless he had been praying silently the whole time. He spoke in Hebrew, the language of the prophets and the Psalms. He was fulfilling the Psalm that he was now proclaiming, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" He was quoting Psalm 22, which runs through the whole crucifixion narrative, the mocking, the division of the garments, Jesus' own word. But on a cross, dying in agony, a man doesn't repeat poetry for fun. Even the poetry of a psalm. He was praying and giving witness to the fulfillment of these words, prayed by this point for 1,000 years. Let us enter into the context of this psalm that Jesus prayed not just on Calvary, but continuously. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you don't answer. By night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And you, our ancestors, trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I'm a worm, not human. Scorned by others, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me, they shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord, let him deliver, let him rescue the one in whom he delights. It was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. Since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help. Many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm being poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dry like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaw. You lay me in the dust of death. for dogs are all around me. Dogs were literally there. That's what they do to crucifixion victims, to add to the horror. And occasionally they'd put syrup over the naked groin, sorry to be blunt, and just let the dogs have at it. Dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and my feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them. And for my clothing are casting lots. But then there's a sudden change of tone from the prophecies of physical, moral, emotional, and spiritual suffering that Jesus was experiencing to the letter. The psalmist starts out with a sense of abandonment, something that many experience at some point in some way in life, but finishes with trust and praise, an abandonment not by the Father, but to the Father from the cross, as he was feeling humanly as if he had been forsaken. So the second half of the psalm finishes, "But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. We make this our own." At the beginning of the Liturgy of the Hours, "O help, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen. You have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cry." And he was proclaiming that in his body language as he cited the first line of Psalm 22. "From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship him. For," and here's the dramatic exclamation point, "for dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down." Those who are dead are going to rise again and bow down before him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. In the prophecy of Isaiah 25, we will say, "Behold our Lord, to whom we look to save us." And then we will proclaim, "Here he is, the one to whom we looked, and he has saved us." But the Lord's path of rescue would not be to save Jesus from death, but to save Jesus and us through death, raising him and us with him to life anew. Jesus was teaching us all how and why to trust in the mercy of our Father, even and especially when we feel totally abandoned, when we can't feel him at all, or in the darkest of the dark nights. Pope Emeritus Benedict entered into this phenomenon in Jesus of Nazareth. He told us, "Jesus' cry is raised at the end of 3 hours of darkness that shrouded all the earth from midday until 3. These 3 hours of darkness are in turn the continuation of a previous span of time, also of 3 hours, that began with the crucifixion of Jesus that morning. In the face of the insults of the various categories of people, in the face of the pall of darkness that shrouds everything, at the moment when he faces death, Jesus, with the cry of his prayer, shows that with the burden of suffering and death, in which there seems to be an abandonment, in which there seems to be the absence of God, Jesus is utterly certain of the closeness of the Father. who approves of this supreme act of love, the total gift of himself, although the voice from on high is not heard as it was on other occasions. What is the meaning of this prayer of Jesus that he addresses to the Father? My God, why have you forsaken me? Does it express doubt about the Father's presence or about his mission? Might there not be in this prayer the knowledge that he had been forsaken? The words that Jesus addresses to the Father begin Psalm 22, in which the psalmist expresses to God as being torn between feeling forsaken and the certain knowledge of God's presence in his people's midst. What is enunciated in Psalm 22, he goes on, happens in our own relationship with the Lord. When we face the most difficult and painful situation, when it seems that God isn't listening, we mustn't be afraid to entrust the whole of our overburdened hearts to him. We must not fear to cry out to him in our suffering. We must be convinced that God is close, even if he seems silent. Repeating from the cross the first words of Psalm 22, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, uttering the words of the psalm, Jesus prays at the moment of his ultimate rejection by men, at the moment of abandonment, but prays in the awareness of God's presence, even in that hour when he's feeling the human drama of death. However, a question arises within us. How is it possible that such a powerful God does not intervene to save his son from such a terrible trial? Pope Benedict answers, it's important to understand that Jesus' prayer is not the cry of one who meets death with despair, nor is it the cry of one who knows he has been forsaken. Jesus makes his own the whole of Psalm 22, the whole of the psalm of the suffering people of Israel. In this way, he takes upon himself not only the sin of his people, but also that of all men and women who are suffering from the oppression of evil. And at the same time, he places all this before God's own heart in the certainty that his cry will be heard in the resurrection. The cry of extreme anguish is at the same time the certainty of an answer from God, the certainty of salvation, not just for Jesus, but for the many. So in Jesus' prayer contained his extreme trust and abandonment into God's hands, even when God seems absent, silent, or deaf. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, we read, in the redeeming love that always united Jesus to the Father, he assumed us in the state of our waywardness of sin to the point that he could say in our name from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? His is a suffering in communion with us and for us, which derives from love and already bears within it redemption, the victory of love. Let's delve still deeper into the word of Jesus to be able to see yet more profound revelations about his mercy and the way that God, through our suffering, through our agony, opens us up more profoundly to receive that mercy. Jesus had very often been alone in his prayer. Not even his three closest followers could stay awake with him. He knew that the hour was coming when everyone would be scattered to his own and would leave him alone. Throughout all of time, however, there was one consolation on which he could always rely, the presence of his Father. St. Matthew puts the word Abba on Jesus' lips 40 times. St. John puts it on Jesus' lips 116 times. Father, I give thee thanks. Father, save me from this hour. Father, the hour has come. Father, if it be possible, I and the Father are one. I'm not alone. The Father is with me. But the sense of his awareness is taken away on Calvary. The emotional side of it. The dregs of the chalice Jesus would drink would be this sensation of abandonment. but it would just be a sensation. Jesus allowed himself to feel separated from the Father so that he could experience everything we experience, even the consequence of sin, which is separation from God, even the consequence of hell, which is eternal self-alienation from God. Jesus had a profound union with the Father. He would be able to say, "The Father and I are one." And he would pray for us during the Last Supper, "May they be one, Father, as you are in me and I am in you." So what's behind this prayer? St. Paul tells us in his second letter to the Corinthians. He said that for our sake God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The consequence of sin is separation from God, and God allowed Jesus to feel it so that he could relate to us even there when we feel it. He knew the dark night in its intensity, but he still knew at the same time that God was there. What St. Paul would proclaim in his letter to the Romans, that nothing in all creation, neither death nor life, nor anguish nor persecution, nor famine nor the sword, can separate us from the love of God. And he knew that, even though he couldn't feel it. And that intellectual knowledge was greater than the sensational abandonment. There's a mystery behind this word that we will never fully penetrate. Maybe it was because Jesus had gone through every experience of human life except the one of feeling the consequence of sin, which separates us from God. We know he was tempted in every way we were, but never sinned. And so we would have felt the temptation of having felt abandoned by God. But in his prayer from the cross, Jesus shows us that in the middle of our own occasional feelings of abandonment, in our own darkest days and nights, how to praise the Lord, how to trust in him, and how to live for him. And that's when we become most open to God's mercy, because it's then we're most desperate for it. In this fourth word of mercy, Jesus says to each of us, "Trust me and live this psalm."